Radio.
This makes me look so bad.
Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it. Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Should we just talk about it here? Let's get started.
Welcome to Emotional Hangs, everybody. This is Joe DeRosa.
I'm Kurt Brownaller.
And here's the podcast where we talk about adult friendship and feelings. So one, two, three.
Let's get soft. I'm tense right now, Joe. Let's get right into it.
You came in hemming and hawing and huffing and puffing and rolling your eyes about work, and it's a goddamn work thing, and you're looking at your phone, and you got to step out to make a call. Then you said you might have to stop to take it. What the fuck is going on?
It's all good problems to have, so I don't want to talk about it, but it's like, it's upsetting to me still.
Why?
Do you know what I mean? And I feel like that it's going to come across like I'm a fucking cocky dick, because I booked two things, then they both shoot at the same time, essentially.
Okay. So you got to pick one?
Yeah. And I mean,
what are the two? Don't say specifically what they are.
No?
What types of things
are
they?
I shouldn't say specifically,
yeah,
right? Just in case they go.
Yeah, exactly.
One is a 6-episode arc on a television show that I love.
Okay.
That I think is one of the best TV shows there.
Okay.
That's what I want to do. And the other one is a commercial that would probably pay my rent for multiple years.
You do the 6-episode arc.
I know I do, but it's still. Sucks that I've been fucking sitting on my goddamn ass for 4 fucking months with all fingers right up my asshole doing fucking nothing. And the fucking one time something fucking nice to me happens,
the one time.
For 4 months, I've just been sitting at home.
Beautiful wife.
With like polishing a gun and just being like, my career's over.
That's Kurt's way of saying he's been jerking off.
Polishing my gun.
Yeah. Sometimes it shoots by accident.
So I polished my gun in the shower a lot.
You've got a beautiful, wonderful wife. You've got an amazing baby on the way. You live in a fucking fantastic house.
I'm terrified that I won't be able to afford this baby, and that's why I started auditioning for commercials.
Listen, you've got the bulk of your stuff covered, all right? You've got a roof over your head, and you've got a support system, an in-house support system with a wife that you love and she loves you back.
It's just, I know. And when I listen to this, literally tomorrow, I will be ashamed. I will be deeply ashamed.
I understand. Look,
that I'm just panicked and stressed right now.
You're panicked.
Because I never get opportunities, and now I have two, and I have to say no to one.
Opportunities all the time. You just came back from Sundance because you were in a fucking huge movie.
So that's why I look like a piece of shit. But it's that from the internal side, it doesn't feel like that at all. From the internal side, it feels like the struggle. The struggle is real. The struggle's there all the time.
That's what this is. This is a safe space. That's why this is a safe space. You can look bad. You don't look bad. You can say things in here that might make you look bad in another circumstance. That's not the point of this podcast.
The point of it is to look as bad as you possibly can.
No, it's like therapy. You got to get it out. Figuring out why you feel that way, and me appreciating that you feel that way, and not judging you. And saying that these were human beings. This is what happens. You feel this way sometimes. I understand. And this is what you're upset about. You're not upset that you're catastrophizing by saying the one time a nice thing happens to me.
Right.
But here's the thing is what you're mad about is, wouldn't it have been nice if I could just do both and I wouldn't have to think about art versus money?
Yeah.
And then it'd be the best of both. Well, unfortunately, it's not. And it might be. One thing might get moved. But I can tell you with all sincerity, you don't take the commercial over the 6-episode
No.
arc.
Oh, I know that.
You don't do that.
I know that.
The thing that's going to open doors for more acting and stuff that you want to do.
Right.
And the story is Jason Bateman... Jason Bateman said no to a major commercial Because he was waiting to hear about Arrested Development.
Oh, he was waiting.
He was waiting to hear, and he
didn't even know.
He thought he might have gotten it, and the story is that he was waiting to hear, and he said no. He rolled the dice and said no to the commercial because it would have meant he couldn't do Arrested Development. He got Arrested Development, and then, you know, all of a sudden it's second career better than the first career.
Yeah.
So I would say let yourself off the hook. These are good problems to have.
They're good.
You're not
going to
starve. Your bank account is not empty. Okay. I know you don't have money to coast for fucking months and years or whatever it is, but your bank account's not empty. You're going to continue to make money. You're going to go on the road. You're going to feed your baby, dude.
All right.
And babies don't, I don't think, cost that much. Because every
it's
time
changed.
Somebody
no, it's
has one.
Now. They eat diamonds now.
Well, every time somebody has a Barty, yourself or a baby, yourself included.
Did you say a Barty?
I was trying to say a baby? I said party by accident. A Barty. Every
Barty?
Time somebody has a Billy Barty, the famous little person actor. it's every time somebody has a fucking baby. You have 8 parties and you scam all your friends to give you everything you need. So I don't know what you need to spend money on.
Joe,
I saw the pile of gifts. Joe, I was there.
Joe did get he came in with a present to the baby shower and he really wanted me. I was just like, I put it over there. And he's just like, no, we're going to go through every single thing I brought. And I got to tell you, don't give this to her until she's 6 months old.
Yeah. And it's also,
I'm not going to give her a rattle.
Arguably the most money I've ever spent on a present for somebody that wasn't like
related to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
think it was the most money I've ever spent on a present. And I was like, to the point where I asked somebody, I said, is this too much that I just spent? And they said, no, that's, you did it, dude. That's a nice
present. It's a very nice present.
So I was not going to just let it get thrown because I didn't buy a card. I was like, how many things do I got to do here?
You were like, look at, recognize
that I bought this.
Recognize this.
When Luis Gomez had his baby shower, I didn't have time to, it was when I lived in New York still, and I didn't have time to get a present because in New York, going to just do something like that could take 4 hours, and I had to get to the party. And so I just gave him cash, and I made him let me give it to him in front of his girlfriend. So, because I wanted full fucking credit for it. I wanted full credit.
That's a fun part of the party.
Yeah. You feel real Italian when you do it, too. It felt really good.
That's very Italian.
Yeah, it felt really good. Let's
update.
I feel like our updates today are going to be the bulk of our discussion. This is just a you and me episode, so I'd say let's do our journaling segment, and then also, I have an idea for another segment that I think I should say on the air so we remember it. We have Air It Out. We should do Push It Down, where it's a thing that you want to talk to somebody about, but you're just choosing to swallow it and be the bigger person instead.
Yeah, I think that's, I love Push It Down.
Okay, so what's the name of the journal segment again?
I'll remember. It's Vulnerability Corner.
Yeah, okay. So, Kurt, this is where Kurt reads a past journal entry, like some kind of scorned cheerleader. And I read from a document I keep on my phone called Random Thoughts, where it gets very dark sometimes.
It's also, what I've learned, too, is that I have... Hold on. You know, a lot of this is just from when I've been looking through my journal, and a lot of it's just from when I was single and I simply did not have anyone to tell these things to. And then some of it's just like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened.
Right. All right. You want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Mine's short. Where did it go? This is rather dark, and I think it gives you a peek through the dirty window into my personality. and the kind of stuff I think about when I'm walking my dog. The destruction of hope is rarely ever just that. It is usually, and unfortunately, the awakening to how horrible things have always been. So hope doesn't... Hope never existed.
And here, our own Jean Sartre.
Yes.
This is a lesson we learned from the stranger. This is like the core tenet of Buddhism and existentialism is that hope will destroy you. You have to live without hope.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually a Buddhist concept. It's like when you learn to live without hope, then you'll truly be happy.
I mean, I really think people have a real hope issue in this country.
When you tell people that, I've expressed that to people that like it'd be better to live without hope, they lose their minds. Because what it is at least in the Buddhist idea is that you don't want things to be better. You are simply being content with what they are.
Yes.
You're actually being in the moment. You're being very present and you're being like, this is what it is. You know?
Yes.
It's not good or bad. It simply is. And I accept that as opposed to saying it should be this way. It should be that way.
It's that. And it's also this idea of, yeah, I wrote that right after Trump got elected. And because everybody was going, oh my God, progress has died. It was Obama, now it's this. And my reaction to that was, this isn't something going away. This is the alarm clock going off and saying it was never as good as you thought it was.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, I'm ashamed to admit, Madonna also had that same sentiment. I didn't take it from her, but as much as I wanted to make fun of Madonna, anytime she's trying to be active, I'm always just, I don't know why, I just always kind of roll my eyes at Madonna for some reason. I like her music too, some of it, but she said the same thing. I was talking about it at our friend Scotty Landis at a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
And I was talking about it there. When somebody was saying, like, aren't you so devastated about this election and this and that? And I said, look, most of us aren't happy about it.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. I said, but, you know, I do think it is sort of a blessing in disguise. It is sort of the stick prodding you and saying, you've been too complacent.
Yeah, wake up. This is what a lot, like, 30% of the country is like.
Yeah, and it's time now to do something about that, or at least try. So, but
then strap on your boots and fight white supremacy.
But then that's hope, I guess, right? Because if you're saying it's time.
Here's the difference.
What?
And this is, again, to go back to a Buddhist thing. I used to have an argument with my friend about this all the time. It's the idea of doing work without the anticipation of a result. And there's like that, it's a cone. I don't even think it's a cone. It's just a saying. Buddha's saying, before enlightenment, chop wood.
What's a cone?
A cone, K-O-A-N. It's like, does a tree fall in the woods? If a tree falls in the woods, is anybody here? It's supposed to be these things you meditate on. They don't really have a fucking answer.
Right.
But this one is just, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. So you're not even if you're like, you just continue to do your work. But the difference is once you're enlightened, quote unquote, in the Buddhist idea, you then don't, you don't have to see the results of your work.
Right.
It's just simply enough to do the work. And I used to get into a fight with my buddy who I used to camp with. This is going to be a super hippie story for you, just FYI.
Right.
But we would chop wood, you know, for the fire. And then as he would chop it, I would just start stacking it.
Right.
And he would get mad at me. And he'd be like, I'm chopping all this fucking wood. I want to see a pile of it show up as I chop it so I can see what I'm doing. I'm doing a good job of fucking chopping all this goddamn wood for us.
Right.
And I'm like, no, you can't. You know, I'm just going to keep stacking it away. I'm going to keep moving it away because you just got to do that. I was just being a dick, essentially. It's like, you got to do that without the reward of seeing the pile of wood.
So Buddhism is just being a dick.
Being a fucking dick.
I don't need to say thank you. Fuck you. You should have done that. You need to be doing that. I get it.
It's so funny to use like spirituality to just be like, no, 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 why don't you work on yourself, asshole?
All right, so hope is up for, interpretation, and it's probably better to live positively with acceptance than live negatively with expectation.
However, I also do think... that to live without hope is one of the most difficult things to do in the world. I don't think it's so. I can't do it.
I've sort of lived without it for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get all swept up when, you know, when I wasn't. I let's not go on a political side street right here, but I can say this. As cool as I thought it was when a black guy got elected president, because mm-hmm. that had never happened before, and that was a landmark moment
yeah.
in our country's history, I was not swept away with the whole idea that everything was going to be set right immediately, like most people were. I thought it was very foolish. And then those same people went on, a lot of them went on to complain that, well, why didn't he do this? And why didn't he do that? And why did he soften up on that? And because yeah. that's how it works. Like, what do you think? I don't understand what you think is going to happen here. You know, so.
I think it's just people being scared. I definitely am scared, you know?
Yeah, I think everybody's a little freaked out, especially right now, you know? But what I try to keep in mind, and I think this is in line with Buddhism, I guess, is people reacted this vehemently during Reagan. People reacted this vehemently during Bush.
But I think it's different.
And, you know? We always think it's different.
But that's the thing. This is unprecedented. This man doesn't.
That's what they said during W. Bush, too. I'm not saying it's not.
You're right. You're right. I do remember thinking and saying similar things, but it's surprising that they found someone who is demonstrably dumber and more fucked up than George W. Bush.
Well, and here's the thing.
Whose joke is it? Is it yours? I just heard it twice recently.
Yeah, but I'll tell you who's thrilled right now is George W. Yeah. Bush. He's doing cartwheels around his ranch. Like,
yeah,
I'm not the
joke?
Asshole anymore. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can finally do Larry King. Yeah. but here's the thing. This is another thing I wrote, and then we can move to your thing.
Okay.
With every generation, things get a bit worse, and that is not to blame the members of the latest generation. You are by default, part of the worst time ever, because as the shit snowball rolls downhill, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So by default, when you are born, you are immediately entered into the densest, brownest patch of that snowball. You know, so people want to go, oh, these kids today, they yeah. don't get it. And it's like, no, it's not the kids. They're just a product of this environment. And this environment continually declines in some way. So I do agree that Trump next to Reagan is a far, the apple falling quite far from the tree. But I also think times just evolve and change in a certain way, you
yeah.
know? And I do, and if you go back and especially listen to the punk records from that time period,
yeah.
I mean, they were talking like Reagan was going to end the fucking world.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But also, to be honest, to be fair, like Reagan's policies in the 80s are deeply responsible for the fact that the 13 people that are on that cabinet, on Trump's cabinet, have more money than half of the entire world combined. You know, he
sure.
opened a door to this height, like this accumulation of wealth by
sure.
individuals, which is unprecedented
sure.
on planet Earth.
Sure, sure.
So there is. I agree with you on one level. On another level, it's like it's still.
Well, that's, I feel the same way about my own statement. I'm
yeah.
like, I agree with it partly. I disagree with it partly. Look, be a Buddhist. Everything's going to just get worse
yeah.
and don't be upset about it.
Yeah, right.
Read your journal entry.
Oh,
the one
man.
That you said is going to make you look bad.
They all make me look bad.
Well, I thought you had like one in particular that was really going to.
Well, there's one that's just like a little piece that just says, I think I might be empathetic, but shallow. And it's by itself on the page.
That's beautiful.
And then I don't remember writing that at all.
That's beautiful.
I have no memory of writing that.
Well, because you're a shallow piece of shit, and it didn't mean anything to you when you wrote it down.
Yeah, it was like I didn't even care.
Yeah.
I shat that out on the page and went about doing a shot.
God damn it! I wish we were friends during this period.
Oh,
Is it bad that I'm upset that we weren't friends during this period? Because I feel like this was a really fun time to hang out with you.
I mean,
or is it
it's
just
fun? It was fun, but it was like I was also like. Because, you know, this was like my time to be single. So I threw everyone under the bus for to hook up with some with a woman.
So like we would be kicking it, and you'd be like, "See you, bro."
100%. We would be kicking it, and then I would meet someone and be like, "I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm talking to her," and then I'm gonna leave, and you're by yourself.
That would have sucked.
Yeah, no, but I was a piece of shit.
But unless we met two chicks, and then it could have been great.
Yeah, it would have been two chicks.
All right.
There's all this other stuff. There's the only thing. The only thing that I actually have in here, most of it's just like did this, but this is just more of a funny story.
Uh-huh.
That I chronicle here, and I'm not going to read it, but I'll just tell you what happened. Did a show and ended up going home with a woman that night after the show,
mm-hmm.
who for some reason I convinced to give, like, I was just wasted, and I was like, "Give me a hickey, give me the biggest hickey you could ever give." And she's like, "I don't think you want me to do that." And I was like, "No, do it."
Yeah.
Gave me this huge hickey.
Ugh,
went to sleep.
The worst.
Got picked up by the venue in the morning to be brought to the airport because I was going to Las Vegas the next day to go on a bachelor party. And
oh, nice.
Get on the plane, still drunk. Hungover, have forgotten that I have this hickey, and it's gigantic. It takes up all of like the left side of my neck.
Eesh.
And then I arrive at the Luxor in Las Vegas, and my friend Patty comes up to me. He's like, "Buddy, I can't believe you're here." And he's like, "What? Is that a hickey?" And I was like, "Oh, I have just been walking through my day with this hickey."
You forgot it was there.
Totally forgot it was there. Then we went to, Then I thought it would be funnier. I was like, "Well, I guess I have to have another hickey to like match this one." So then we went to a strip club, and I requested that a lady give me a hickey on the other side.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I was in a fucking burn it down mode. So I just had these two giant hickeys, and then I just lived as a human being with these giant hickeys on my neck for it was like weeks.
I've had them on stage before.
You have?
Yeah, I didn't ask for them. And I had to go on stage with hickeys, and I had to just start my set with like, "This fucking idiot gave me hickeys last night. I don't fucking know why she did that. God damn it." Because I was so mad.
Yeah.
I was like, "What are we, 12? What are you doing?
What are we, 12? So that's just a short one. Dumb story.
It's not dumb. None of it's dumb, Kurt. We're in the safe zone. Okay. You wanna, let's get to the main body of everything. Let's do the updates. You have more than I do this week, but I can tell you that where we last left off, my task was to call my mom and apologize.
Right. Let's just review for people who haven't heard the episode what you did.
It was a day or two after Christmas. We were sitting home watching TV. A commercial came on where Brad Garrett plays Frankenstein. It's not a comedy commercial. It's serious. He goes down as Frankenstein to sing Christmas carols to the people in the town. They're all terrified of him. Then a little girl goes up to him and starts to sing with him, and everybody realizes they're being the monsters. So they start to join in. My mom starts crying. And I say, "Why are you crying?" And she says, "I just wish the world could be like this." And I replied with, "Well, it won't. Ever, 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 ever. So let it go."
Okay.
And I felt bad about that.
Love it.
So
how'd it go? You called your mom. Your job was to call your mom and to apologize.
I was really...
worried?
I was really just dodging doing it for... I waited till the last minute to do it because I didn't want to do it. I felt embarrassed, and I felt it's such a vulnerable thing. Because here's the thing. Part of the task was I had to say not just I'm sorry, but I had to reveal the truth, which was I also wish the world could be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I just say that? That's sort of a vulnerable thing to say to somebody, and especially to your mom. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. For some reason, it's even weirder and harder to say that to your mom. So she called me. We were talking, and I was, like, about to hang up when we were done talking, and I was like, fuck. I got to do that thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just like, hey, mom, I owe you an apology. And she's like, for what? And which was comforting that she was kind of like, for what?
Yeah. Like that she hasn't been just thinking about this since fucking Christmas.
And I, you know, I went through the whole thing and I said, and she said, it's okay, thank you. Which was nice because it clearly did bother her. Yeah. So I was glad like I had fixed something that was bugging her to some extent. And then I said, I don't know why I couldn't say this to you, but I also wish the world was like that. And it's a troubling time we're living in right now. And I don't know how to, it's been very hard to process all of it. So I was reacting in a way that didn't have much to do with you and had more to do with the climate of everything right now. And she said, I know, and I understand, and I love you. And it was very positive.
Did she call you pussy afterwards?
She did.
You're real pussy for worried about that.
She did. She was dead silent. And I said, why are you so quiet? She goes, I'm just trying to figure out how many fingers I can fit in your pussy right now. And
that's
she
great.
Goes, I think all of them.
It's gaping, Joe. It's gaping. I imagine your mom with an Italian accent.
You're kidding.
So that's good, man. Congratulations. I think that it's not easy to do that, especially when it's so many months past to bring it up. Makes, you know, you're worried that you're going to sound like a lunatic for still remembering it.
But well, she's very like in the, you know, the past is the past, which is actually why... For some reason, it was more rewarding that she didn't say this time. And I said this about other grievances that I've settled or things I apologize for, rather, on the show. It's to me, it's worse if the person just goes, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm on the other side of it. If the person's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I'm just like, oh, whew, it was never a thing.
See, I'm like, shit, am I crazy? Like, did I just, why am I hanging on to it then? You know, like, I actually like if a person is like, no, that pissed me off and thank you for saying that. I guess, but that's, goes back to your wood thing. That's like an expectation. That feels like progress.
Yeah, there we go.
That's expected progress.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, there you go. But that's my main update.
I'm proud of you. I'm good. That's a good one.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And stuff's been really nice with my folks since then.
That's excellent.
Stuff in life has been nice.
It must be nice to have folks.
Oh, come on, man.
Every time you mention your mom, I'm going to mention that mine's dead. Every time.
But your dad's alive.
Sure.
And I'm sorry your mom's
folk,
dead.
So I have folk.
I don't, I don't mean that makes up for your mom being dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you still have... You have a wife and a baby.
I have a wife and a baby.
A baby coming soon.
Yeah. It's just too bad that my wife got pregnant and we found out the day after my mom died. Too bad, huh?
That is too bad. That is too bad.
It is literally... I joke around about it, but it breaks my heart every day. It breaks my heart in twain. It clefts it in twain
every
single day.
It's sad. I understand that. It is sad.
Yeah. I think about it all the time.
I have both my parents, but I sit on a beanbag staring at a wall in my apartment. Having full conversations with my dog while I play my Nintendo Classic. So we all take our lumps.
But at least you can still smoke. You know, I can't even smoke.
You could if you grew a set of fucking nuts. If you took your wedding band from around your dick and put it on your finger, you could do whatever you want.
All right, my update. Time for my update.
All right.
This is going back to our very first episode, which for you guys was maybe 2 months ago, but for us was not so long ago.
Right.
I'd asked Joe if he ever did therapy, and he was like, yeah, of course I have.
Right.
He's like, you don't? And I was like, never have. Never right. thought about it. And he said, of all people, you should do therapy. And I said, okay. And so I was like, that's what'll be my thing. I'll go see a therapist. And so I've been to 2 sessions so far.
Two.
Yeah. And I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
It's just like, I get in there and I'm just like, I feel like I talk about all this stuff with you and with my other friend Bobby and with my other friends like Patty and Chris and Damien. I feel like I talk all that stuff through already. So I get there and I'm just like, it just seems like exhausting to like catch her up. You know, it's like, I just don't, I get in there and I'm just like, look, and I was up front with her. I was like, I'll be honest, I don't have a problem. I don't have anything I'm working through. I'm here because I was like dared to go here by my podcast partner.
Okay.
And so I guess we'll just chat and see if anything comes up.
You're not working through anything. Just, you described getting two offers for television jobs as the only nice thing that's happened to me in 4 months. Really? You think there's nothing there?
I mean, that's the thing.
There's no perspective issues or anything like that?
That's the thing. That's my question, is that am I so deeply damaged that I can't even begin to see, like, what's wrong? Or is it the fact, or is it, like I said in my journal, about to call it my Bible, that I'm empathetic, but probably a little shallow.
Look, the best lesson I've learned from therapy is this. It's not always necessarily about changing who you are.
Uh-huh.
It's about accepting who you are.
Okay.
And realizing that that's okay sometimes. But I also think it is about changing too. It's not one or the other.
Yeah.
So there are things that we beat ourselves up over relentlessly, and sometimes it's very not justified. And I think those things are what therapy can help you go, it's okay that I feel this way sometimes. I'm allowed to be upset about that. Mm-hmm. It's when you let it do X, Y, and Z that becomes a problem. And I also think it's good when therapy is challenging and says, well, no, like, look, there's a thing I'm doing with my therapist right now. I'm talking a lot about my drinking, okay?
Yeah.
I do not think I'm an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I'm somebody who enjoys drinking, and I have, without question, abused it at times in my life.
Yeah.
And I have been talking at length with my therapist about this, and she's very much of the belief of, look, dude, if you have more than two drinks a night, you're binge drinking. That's it. That's all there is to it. I don't agree with that, but I appreciate that she's challenging me on that and giving me a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And she even said the other day, she's like, I go, look, you're going to sit there and tell me that if a girl who's 4'10" has two drinks and is blackout drunk from it, I'm not, that's my limit too?
Yeah,
I'm like,
I agree.
Give me a break. And she's like, and she finally just goes, I'm just telling you the guidelines that have been set out.
Right.
You are allowed to not choose to follow them. I'm just telling you what's out there.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. But here's the thing. Whether or not I end up agreeing with her or don't agree with her, whatever, the fact that I am having an exchange with somebody who's challenging me is very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that right now, and I hear you, I've been in that therapy place where you go in and you go, I don't know. I don't feel like talking about anything. Like,
It's not like I don't want to talk. It's just like I just kind of feel like I'm aimlessly telling her things like, I guess this and... this is a situation, you know, it's just like, it kind of feels, and also another thing is that it might not be the right therapy for me because it's called, non-directional. So she doesn't give like work on this.
That's
or this
the
is,
work that's wrong for you.
Right?
I think so.
I want it to be like, I want somebody to be like, challenge me. And
no,
like,
you need, dude, I'll give you the number of my therapist.
Right.
She's fucking great. And she... It's very low-key. It's very relaxed. A lot of the times, like, we'll hit, like, 30 minutes, and I'm like, I'm done for today. I don't want to talk about anything else. And she's like, okay. Like, but, like, I leave there each week with her saying, like, she gives me activities. It's like the podcast.
Yeah.
She's, you know, so, like, recently, she's like, here's what I want you to do. Last week, she's like, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do social things during the day more often.
Uh-huh.
She's like, because here's the thing. You sit around in your house all day, and then dark hits, and you're climbing the walls to get out, and then you're going to go out and drink too much.
Yeah.
She's like, so go get coffee. Go to the rock climbing gym. Go do something.
Yeah.
She's
that's
like,
a great, that's a fucking smart move.
Yeah. So it's like, she gives me something to work on. I had like one or two dates with somebody and I didn't want to date them. And I went in one day and I was like, this is all I want to talk about today. I was like, I am in a very uncomfortable position right now. I don't know what to do. And I was like, how do I get out of this? Because I can't break up with the person. It's not my girlfriend.
Yeah.
I just have to move out of it. Like,
mm-hmm. But
I
was, you don't want to be a dick about it. You don't want to just like stop responding.
Yeah, and exactly. And I was like, so tell me how to slowly phase out of this. And she's like, you're not going to slowly phase out of this. She's like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to leave here. You're going to call this person. And you're going to tell them very honestly that you don't have time right now. And I was like, okay, cool. So I'll say like, I'm busy this week. And she's like, no. You're not going to say this week. You're going to say, I do not have time right. Dude, and she fucking hammered it into my head.
Wow.
And I was terrified.
Uh-huh.
And I did it. And the person was like, yeah, dude, no worries, man. Like, I get it. Like, I totally understand. Like, things happen. And it's, and it was, it couldn't have been more amicable.
That's great.
And she was like, don't be a jerk. Be
and how many times have you gone out?
We gone out a couple times.
Like twice, three times?
Yeah, something like that. So, and I just
slept with her?
No.
Okay.
But I didn't want to, but it felt, you know what I mean? It felt involved enough that I couldn't not call.
Right.
But not so involved that I had to break up with her.
Yeah.
And my therapist gave me like, this is what you do. And it was like, here's what your task is.
Yeah.
And dude, I felt, I did it walking home from the session.
That's great. I did that once where I was like, felt like I made the adult choice that I think you made, and you know, call her up and I was explained like just you know, some fucking bullshit, like I don't have enough time right now, and and she again very amicable, but then bit me in the ass 3 months later when I was like, hey, we were like out drunk at a bar and I was like, now we can hook up, right? And she's like, no, fuck you, you can't do that, can't have it both ways. I'm like, what, I can't have it both ways?
Yeah, well, that's the part you're not supposed to do.
That's the part you're not supposed to do.
We're only human, man.
Yeah.
So I think that you need to not be in a non-directional thing.
Right, I need to be in a directional thing.
Yeah, because you're not a guy that needs to go vent to somebody. You're a guy that needs to go in and go, why do I feel so overwhelmed that when two nice things happen, I feel like it's not a good thing? And talk that through with her.
But that's normal. You don't think that that's a normal feeling?
I'm not saying it's not a normal feeling, but yeah. But obviously the best version of ourselves would not be exasperated by that.
Well, it's just the fact that I've just been so frustrated with nothing happening for so long.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? And then
sure.
I'm just like angry at the universe, essentially.
Okay, well then, do you see how much deeper that just got?
Yeah.
You talked for 2 seconds about it. It's like, I'm angry at the universe.
Yeah.
You need somebody that's going to be like, well, why, Kurt? Why are you angry at the universe?
Because my mom is dead.
Yeah. And then suddenly you're connecting dots and she's explaining to you the bitterness and unfair feeling that you have because of your mom passing has nothing to do with this other thing.
Right.
And here's how you work on separating those things.
I kind of feel like I should just pay you. Like, that was great. That was really...
Pay me. You'll end up in a real good place.
if we'll be at the bar.
I know.
I was so excited because it's Friday. It's the afternoon. I was so excited to be able to like drink during this podcast, but I got to go do another thing. But someday soon, Friday, we should schedule like Friday last thing, and we should just have a drinking episode.
You know what, dude? I have a fucking show tonight, and I got out of it.
Uh-huh.
I got out of my show tonight.
Yeah?
It's nothing against the show. It was. I thought I was not going to be around, so I canceled, and then I found out I was going to be around. So this morning, I was like feeling like productive, and I called the booker, and I was like, hey, I can do the show.
Yeah.
If you still need me. And they're like, yeah, come through. And I'm like, great.
Why did you do that?
Now I'm just like, God damn it. All I want to do is just leave here and go right to Happy. But that's probably better that I don't do that.
Right, of course. Right?
You know.
Gotta,
and then tomorrow's Saturday.
You have a big day tomorrow. You go crazy Saturday. You have 30 drinks.
Yeah, that's
all
the
ones you saved up. That's, I save them all up. I have them on one night.
I know, man. Why isn't that okay to do?
If two drinks a night is okay, why can't I have 10 on Sunday?
I've been doing a thing where I have like 2 or 3 beers a night.
Yeah, that's not drinking, in my opinion.
I don't think it is either.
For men of our size, I have 2 beers, it doesn't touch the sides.
I barely feel anything. It's after dinner. It's like a great time passer thing.
Yeah.
Like you go meet some buddies, you have a few slow beers.
Yeah.
They're light beers. They're like 90 calories each. And you go home.
I mean, in 5 years.
And then also, then I don't eat late because I feel like full from the beer.
Yeah, you don't. Because I mean, God. It's like healthy.
I don't think, is beer that bad for you? Like, I know
it's
if you drink.
It's supposed to be. It's supposed, it makes you fat. Makes you fat.
I guess so, but I mean, Christ almighty, dude, it can't be worse for you than people are like, vodka's better for you. I'm like, I will drink a bottle of vodka.
Yeah.
If you tell me all I can drink tonight is vodka.
I'll drink a lot of vodka.
Yeah, it goes down like goddamn water.
It does taste like
There's
water.
No way that's better for me.
It can't be better for you. Beer, at least you're like, I'm full. I don't want to drink any more of you, beer.
Oh, dude.
And then you move on to the vodka. You have a great night.
My thing is, you have...
That's what happens to me.
You have 5 or 6 light beers on a Friday night. That's about 500 calories, roughly.
Yeah.
You do that, you have a couple puffs of weed here and there, you're having a good fucking night. You know? You
don't yeah.
That's not... And it's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's like eating 2 pieces of pizza or something.
Right?
I think, right?
Yeah. Just about your liver.
I don't, that's what I'm saying. Is it that bad for your,
I don't know. If you just do it every day for 12 years like we both did. it builds up.
12 years?
Yeah.
It's a lot longer than that, buddy.
18?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot.
No, see, that's the thing. I didn't really start like heavily drinking until I got into my like single phase.
I started around 19, 20 and... It's been about a 20 solid year run for me. I've really been going hard.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Well, it's disgusting. Oh, God.
All
so
right.
Depressing. Everybody now at home is like, no, Joe, you are an alcoholic. That is.
At home? Where at home?
Listening at home.
Oh, wow.
Like, who is this guy? I think he's kidding. He's an alcoholic.
We both listen to this in 5 years and be like, wow, we really justified our alcoholism for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, is that all the therapy update?
That's all the therapy update. I mean, oh, there is one therapy. I remember I told you, few weeks ago about this recurring dream I'd had as a child.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you would come up with some bullshit thing that you thought it was.
Was it close?
No.
Really?
She was like, I have to think about it. And that was like, because I realized I had to like talk to her about it, so I brought it up at the end of the first session.
Right.
She said she had to think about it, but then she never got back to me about it. But she did say... And this is a
These
part...
These are not good signs for a therapist.
No, right?
I got to think about that one. And then...
And then not bring it up. But also your joke about where the good feelings end real fast at the end of the session.
Yeah.
She cannot get to the door fast enough when 50 minutes is up. She's like, I'm sorry, that's all we have time for. Jumps up and runs to the door. Like, I guess she has to answer an email or something.
But also this non-directional, how is that even therapy?
How is she? Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, the point that I don't know if I mentioned in the, so the dream is I'm a balloon walking down this like, and I had it when I was like 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. I'm a balloon walking down this like suburban like landscape, bland suburban landscape. And then, but here's something I didn't mention is that, the feeling associated with it was that my head was really, really big.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, and it only happens when it's early in the morning, like 4:30 in the morning, and I'm taking an Uber or the Lyft to the airport.
Right.
And I'm like trying to sleep in the back seat. Sometimes I'll get stuck on the visual of it, mm-hmm. and I'll have the same feeling that my head is continually expanding.
Right.
And I'll get panicky.
Okay.
And so that's weird. So I have to like wake myself up and be like, stop, I'm not, my head is normal size. But it's like, it feels like my head's too big. She said that is probably a birth memory of your head feeling too big coming through the vaginal canal. Which totally makes sense to me.
It because was like your mom's in the dream?
Yeah, and it was like I had the dream, like it's my earliest memory.
Oh, well, oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
That dream is like my earliest memory, and that makes sense.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Look at that. It's a birth, and then all of a sudden, like having that be like, oh, it's not fucking crazy or creepy. It's just like a thing.
Nice.
Yeah. So
nice.
A good thing came out of it.
Well, that's good. All right. Yeah.
I have a memory of going through my dead mom's vagina.
With your giant head.
With my giant head.
Jesus Christ. My cousin
if
once...
If there's an afterlife, Mom, don't listen to this.
My cousin once told me, this has got to be a stock, like, joke thing.
What?
Because my cousin is now a believe, a heroin addict somewhere. We haven't talked in 6 years. But he told me this, and I thought it was funny. When I started doing comedy, he was like, if anybody ever heckles you, go up. He's like, go up to them in the audience and start measuring their head with your hands like this. But like, you wouldn't say that. You would just be like,
yeah,
with this sort of quizzical like look on your face, measuring their head. And then like, obviously the guy would be like, what are you doing? You know? Yeah. And you'd be like, and then you just go, your mom's pussy must have been huge.
That is so not, I did not expect it.
Neither did I. I was like, that's really fucking funny, man. I never did it because I just assumed he, like, it was.
That's a street joke or something.
I was like, he didn't make this up, you know?
Yeah. Maybe he did it. Maybe he's a genius.
I don't know. That's a really, he was a smart guy.
That's pretty funny.
It's a shame what happened to him. Listen, next episode that features just me and Kurt, we're going to do an update on the brother search stuff.
Yeah,
there have been a few developments, but and we were going to talk about them today, but I feel like we should hold them until
we can have
a more legit discussion.
And also, I might have some more results for us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. My new special, You Let Me Down, it's been out for a while. Go check it out. You can buy it on iTunes, but you can buy the album also on iTunes. It's streaming on all your Spotify and whatever favorite streaming services, and I don't know what the hell did go look on my Twitter for shows, because I don't know where we are in the year right now. Joe DeRosa Comedy. I'll let you know where I'm going to be. Thanks.
And I have a special March 3rd. This will be after March 3rd, but go. You can download it on iTunes, Amazon. It's called Trust Me, or you listen to the album. It's available everywhere albums are sold. It's a Comedy Central hour-long special. Bye. Audio.